So I'm going to discuss what I think is a very important topic for the management of nitrogen, especially in the corn crop, for a number of reasons, you know, environmental contamination, greenhouse gases, and the quality of of water. As it has been stated as a priority policy goal to be reducing nitrogen application rates, especially in corn, because corn is the most intensive user of nitrogen fertilizer, both on a per acre basis or in total use. And it has appeared in this study by Ribaudo that reducing the application of nitrogen fertilizer is the most effective, best management practice for reducing the emission of nitrogen into the environment. What we have done was to conduct a meta-analysis on Quebec, Ontario corn database, where we have assembled 322 side dress nitrogen rate studies, which is a significant amount of studies. That's no wonder, because the problem is so important that people are conducting a lot of studies all around the all around the place with the different provinces and different, well, it's true as well in North America as a whole. So there are a number of studies being conducted, and we have managed to assemble them for the two provinces of interest. So you see here a lot of contributors that have provided their database, and we thank them very much for that, because it's a lot of work to do that and to share what is available. So in Quebec we have 242 site years, in Ontario 80 site years that we have for the four nitrogen rates that we have focused on: 50, 100, 150, and 200 kilo of nitrogen side dress per hectare. In many studies, we didn't have the exact level that we were looking for, 50, 100, and so on. So we achieved a linear interpolation to match the selected rates when we didn't have them exactly right. There is something more. We didn't include soil organic matter into our meta-analysis because this information was not available most of the time in Ontario. But the soil organic matter was addressed in a different meta-analysis that we have for Quebec, but I'm not going to discuss that. So we'll jump right into the results, as we have the responses to nitrogen rates depending on previous crop groups for all those sites. So we have divided the groups in two. We have the low nitrogen contributors in the group one, and the high nitrogen contributors in the group two. So what do we see as a response ratio, the weighted means? We have this axis that is expressed, well, the yield that we've got against the control. So it's a ratio of the yield for this particular group against the control treatment. So the control rates one on this scale. So what we see is that for the low nitrogen contributors, we have logically greater impact on our nitrogen application rates, which makes sense. The second thing is that we've looked at tillage systems, looking at the response to nitrogen rate depending on those groups of tillage system. The conventional till was one group, mostly represented with 201 degrees of freedom, and the reduced or no-till with 98 degrees of freedom. What we're able to see is that reduce or no-till group is more likely to respond to nitrogen rate than the conventional till in this database. So that's something new we've learned from this meta-analysis. We were not able to make that conclusion up to now. The third conclusion that we've been able to obtain was regarding the soil surface textural groups. And we have divided in four categories: the fine, medium, coarse, and very coarse textures. We we see that the very coarse texture is very likely to respond to nitrogen rate. That makes sense because these soils are very poor retainers of nitrogen in their profile, so that when rainfall comes, it is very likely for those very coarse soil to lose their nitrogen and then therefore respond to a supplement. So you see the very very high response rate ratio to these soils. While well, it happens that there's very few degrees of freedom, but still the variance seems to be homogeneous for this particular category. When it comes to the other groups, we find that the medium texture soils are less likely to respond to nitrogen, followed by the fine texture soil and then the coarse, which was something we more or less obtained in a previous meta-analysis published in 2012. So far, what we've got from this analysis is meta-analysis is a set of quantified relationships that are applicable to known conditions, you know, depending on whether you're in a previous crop group one, previous crop group two, we can have an idea of what likelihood of response to nitrogen you're going to get. This is information derived over large data sets with no publication bias because it's basically raw database that we've obtained and used. And it's more or less ready for implementation in the decision support system because you've got functional relationships that are applicable to conditions that that can be used by farmers. But yet, is this enough to achieve the goal of reducing application rate that we have in mind? If we want to solve the nitrogen problem in corn, and I don't think it is, because there's the fact that the farmers they do waste fertilizers. They apply basically 24 to 36% extra nitrogen to those to the corn crop, and the question is why? Why do they still apply too much after all the studies that have been conducted, thousands of studies that have been conducted on nitrogen application, comparing the soil organic matter, previous crop tillage system, so on. So why is that the case? The reason is that the decision to apply more than average nitrogen to take advantage of good years is appropriate. That means a farmer is going to aim for the seasons where nitrogen will really pay back. So it will apply extra nitrogen in cases the season will be providing back in terms of yield the investment on nitrogen. So overall, over a number of seasons, a number of years, the decision to do that is profitable. So this is all based on the uncertainty about the season. This has been defined by Rajek and Virzing. So what is a season characterized by? What is a season really? It's season is different temperatures, can be defined in corn heat units, and different rainfall. So we have decided to have a look at those two components of a season to address the problem of uncertainty. And we have established in our agronomy journal paper that it is rain and not temperature that determines the nitrogen effect on yield. You have the effect of corn heat unit on the impact of nitrogen rate on the left, which is very marginal, and the impact of rainfall on the right, which is highly relevant, of very much of importance. It's quite clear. So we have defined a parameter that has been called AWDR for abundant and well-distributed rainfall, which is the product of the amount of rain by the dispersion, as defined by the Shannon Diversity Index, the dispersion in time. So if you have high rain concentrated, if you have high rain well dispersed in time, a little bit every day, it will be more likely to increase nitrogen effect than the opposite. And this AWDR parameter was defined around 15 days prior to nitrogen application up to 30 days after nitrogen application. So it's a more or less a theoretical parameter that is related to the nitrogen effect. This was done in a meta-analysis. We have conducted in 2012 on several sites across North America. And the main conclusion for this past meta-analysis was that the soil texture by AWDR interaction, so soil texture by rain interaction, is highly determinant for the nitrogen effect of corn yield. So we have the seasonal factor built in this meta-analysis. So what about the response to nitrogen rate depending on AWDR groups for the new Quebec, Ontario database that we have assembled? This is the dispersion of AWDR for that particular database, where we have dry conditions, wet and very wet conditions that have been described. For this case, we haven't used the minus 15 to plus 30 days as was done in 2012, but we have downgraded the AWDR to minus 15 to plus 15 days for practical reasons, and we have used this time span for the analysis of the Quebec Ontario database. I'll get back on this later. So the results are that we have a very high impact of nitrogen rate when we are into very wet conditions, a little bit less when we are wet conditions, and less when we are in a dry condition. That's, again, makes sense. That's quite logical. But these trends are not homogeneous overall, so there's a lot of variance that remains to be explained by further subgrouping. So what we've done was to get to that level of soil texture by AWDR interaction in terms of subgroups. So we have here all the cases for the three for the four textures that we have separated, and the two AWDR levels, the low and the high. So what it shows is that we have very very high response to nitrogen rate when we're in a condition of very coarse soil, very high AWDR, we have a very high likelihood of nitrogen response. But when we look at the data we have, it's a fact that we have low degrees of freedom for the coarse and very coarse textural groups, and we have more degrees of freedom for the fine and medium soil textural groups, which is no wonder, since most of the time corn is being grown on those soils, so therefore there are a lot of experimental data for those particular conditions. So when we zoom on those particular two groups, we have some better understanding of the relationship between the texture and the AWDR rainfall groups that we're able to work from. So it has explained a little bit more of the functional relationship of nitrogen with those conditions. So the fine and medium textural group by rainfall subgroups still are not homogeneous, and we would have liked to gone further into the decomposition of variants. But again, for us, it's very often the case, was just mentioned by the previous speaker, sometimes we don't have enough data to decline all cases of previous crop tillage system or subgroups like that. So it's there where we had to stop. So I guess a very important thing is that rainfall data is a need if we want to achieve anything good for solving the nitrogen corn problem. As was said by Kiveriga and Blackmer in 2012, there's a great need to use rainfall data to explain the results of nitrogen response trials and integrate rainfall into N fertilizer recommendations. Currently, rainfall data are not considered in N fertilizer recommendation for corn, although rainfall profoundly influences the magnitude of yield response to nitrogen fertilizer and the percentage of nitrogen loss from the soil and fertilizer. So rainfall is the most important source of uncertainty that motivates insurance rates application by growers. So if we don't incorporate rainfall into our recommendation systems, we're not going to address the source of uncertainty, so why the growers actually apply insurance rates. If we look at decision support systems that are doing that, we have Adaptin out there in New York State that is doing that. It's using cumulative rainfall and historical averages for the future, for the part after nitrogen application. And that's quite, I think, the unique example of what is being achieved in terms of decision support system for that matter. We have also ideas about using stochastic provision of rainfall in the future that has been suggested by Dumont and co-worker just this year. And the use of actual forecast was made by Asseng and co-worker in European Journal of Agronomy. So using actual forecast to change the nitrogen rate applied to crops was done in an Australian case. It was not in a formal decision support system, but just as a theoretical case. So what if we want to incorporate rainfall data in Quebec for decision making? So we have access to actual rainfall data in a portal called AgroMeteo Quebec, where it's a 10 by 10 kilometer grid of actual rainfall information cumulative. And if we want to address the forecast, we have access to Environment Canada forecast for the 15 days ahead of the nitrogen application, which is a source of information we can include in our calculations. That's what we have done in developing a portal that we call WebScan for soil, crop, atmosphere for nitrogen. And this decision support system is for site dressing nitrogen in the Quebec province. It's based on meta-analysis results I've just shown. It's driven by a fuzzy inference engine. It has rules including soil texture by AWDR interaction, soil organic matter, pervious crop, tillage system, all coming from meta-analysis, and an adjustment for historical yield of the field. So it has been tested and it's currently being tested for the last year in 2015. We're going to report on the results of this testing, but globally it improves nitrogen rate selection over growers practice very, very much. So we are able to achieve same yield with less nitrogen or more yield with more nitrogen. And it gets closer to the actual economically optimal rate than any other system available. So the SCAN task force is built around Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada. It's my group with co-workers. And Efficient Geo Solution, a private firm in Montreal. And I'd like to address the idea that meta-analysis and big data, they have the same, they are driven by the same idea, the same principle. I think it's important to realize that. When you have meta-analysis and big data, basically you're working from past trial. A lot of past trial in meta-analysis and a lot of sensors data in big data. The idea is to have a lot of information to draw conclusions from. You're working from metadata in meta-analysis and you're working for metadata as well in big data, but this is basically the context of acquisition, where you were and what were the conditions for the sensors acquisitions. And the benefits, they are both the same. It's building relevance and having opportunity to develop decision support system outside of mechanistic models that are more demanding in terms of building of relationships. The challenges are the same, where we have the availability of data and metadata sets. In meta-analysis, they're often not available, often lost, while in the big data era, likely the information will be private and therefore difficult to reach. There's a challenge for standardization and interoperability. It is important to know that there are initiatives around the world to sort these problems out, and one of them is the Research Data Alliance that has for objective to accelerate progress for global data sharing and increase data-driven innovation. There are interest groups in agriculture, data rescue, metadata, and geospatial data information, data sets. So we're not alone, basically. There are several groups that are having the same problems. So I think it's a necessity as a conclusion to gather and analyze data and metadata from a diversity of conditions in order to derive management practices that will correspond to users' context and be adapted for that reason. That's what I have for you. Thank you very much.
Have you looked at how different companies couldn't run in response to negative reads?
Different companies are? What?
Different companies couldn't run. Different customer from the different company.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. We haven't looked into the hybrid question for this meta-analysis. What we have, I know that in the literature there is the fact that there's a new hybrid category starting from the 90s that are, you know, because of new genetics, have been changing their hybrids, have been changing their response to nitrogen rates because of the genetics and the selection. But this hasn't been a part of our study, unfortunately. But I don't think it's highly significant. Based on the literature I've seen, it's less important than rainfall, for example.
In terms of rainfall, which periods of rainfall are critical for this negative response?
We have established, and theoretically, it's minus 15 days, so 15 days prior to nitrogen application and 30 days after. But since it's not realistic to have 30 days forecast for rainfall, we have downgraded the period that we're looking for 15 days forecast instead of 30 for practical reason, because that's what we have available in the forecast. It's around that, yes. But it's, you know, we have established in a 2012 study that the stage at which the nitrogen is applied is not highly critical. It doesn't explain a part of the variance. So it's, we have grouped the growing stage where nitrogen was applied. So it was between V4 and V7, basically, that we're looking for. Yes. Yes. So, for example, what we have currently to make recommendations to grower is the, what I've mentioned, ADAPTEN, which is a mechanistic model out of Cornell University. So it's working from a set of equations that have been derived to explain what is the loss of nitrogen in the soil, what's the nitrogen remaining. So every day there's an iteration of calculation that's being made by the model. So this is one option, to use mechanistic model. But the other option is to use rules defined or derived from meta-analysis that are meaningful, and then apply them as a more empirical way of answering questions. So we don't need to have these physical equations necessarily to achieve a recommendation. We can work from established relationship either from meta-analysis or from big data, because we are able to create subgroups that are for which we have a reliable recommendations. So these are two options. Yeah, that's a good question. Actually, what we can do out of this this information is to establish the likelihood to have a response to a certain rate of nitrogen, and then the UNR calculation is based on whether this you're gonna get you can expect a given yield to that nitrogen rate, and then it becomes an economical calculation as to whether it's worth applying nitrogen or not. But we have the shape of the relationship. We think it's reliable because it's based on dozens of studies. So the shape of the relationship is suitable for the UNR calculation. We would have liked to have 6-7 rates to work from, but still the relationship, because it's been derived out of numerous studies, we think it's stable and reliable. So the model is...
But I think the question is whether you have enough degrees of freedom to treat a function to calculate
Yeah, we think that the model is reliable because it has been established on a big number of studies. But of course, more rates would have been better.
Or if it's possible to do a meta-analysis on the EONR.
Of course, if we had this EONR in the database, yes, but we didn't. Of course, no, it was not available, basically.